The Fan on Demand. His city, his house. No one beats him in his house. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Thursday, the 18th of September, 2014. It's Primetime Sports. It's Canada's most listened to sports talk show on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, coast to coast. Yours truly, Bob McCowan. Ken Reid will be in here in a little while. Richard Deitch will join us later. But look what the cat dragged in.
Ah! I'm wearing my D hat right now because it was so close to Detroit. And I just want to be chased.
Why don't you wear a T hat for Toronto?
Well, because
you don't have one.
I went there. Yeah, that's mainly what it is.
It's John Sally.
B, what's happening?
Good to see you. Long time. What you been doing? TV, radio, music.
Yeah, I got a new show on the Tribal Channel called B, John Sally. I just travel to all the cities that I used to play in. Well, I get to see what the city has to offer. I tell people all the time, I can tell you where the strip joint, the steakhouse, and the nightclub is in every city. But I cannot tell you anything about any city. So I've traveled everywhere and seen nothing.
Hold on.
Yes.
How do you know from steakhouses?
Because that's where all the guys would go after the game. I'm not going to give the names, Ruth Chris, all these different things. I'm not going to give those names.
Martins. You're not going to mention Martins.
I'm not going to mention Martins, even though Martins has the best vegetables of all the steakhouses.
Here's what people need to know that I know about you.
Right.
Unless you've... changed.
No.
You're a vegan.
I eat a plant-based diet. I'm more raw than I am vegan now. But yeah, I'm a vegan.
Well, whatever. You don't eat meat.
I don't eat meat. But remember this.
Know steakhouses.
I know steakhouses. There's one, Jimmy Williams, my friend Jimmy Williams and Natasha, and I think it was Damon Allen. We went to a steakhouse not too far from the Make-Believe Center.
Gardens.
Right downtown. And I said, I'm a vegan. And the guy brought me better food than he made them. And everybody was like, how'd you do? Because, you know, chefs don't get to cook. You don't cook meat. You put it in there.
Yeah, it just kind of happens.
And you got to do everything else.
Yeah.
He made me the best sides ever right here in Toronto.
Really, huh?
Yeah. And then, you know, with a large Asian community here, vegetables are
easy to find.
And earlier, liquid
now,
life.
Now, so I want to know. I know a few vegans.
Do you really? So sexy, aren't they?
Not really. So, do you know Daniel Negreanu, the poker player?
Yep.
He's a vegan.
Yeah.
Came to my house, ate me out of Fritos.
He won't eat animals, but any chemicals you can get. Fritos they make it out of a machine. It doesn't come from
anything. Well, I had to feed him something, and it was one of those deals. He came in and did the show, and I've known Daniel for a while. He's a Toronto guy. And he lives in Vegas, and he came up, he did the show. And I said, what are you doing? He says, nothing. I'm just hanging out. And I said, well, come on to my place. We'll have dinner. I didn't know he was a vegan at the time. So I called my wife, said, Negreanu's coming over. So she's scrambling to cook up something great. He walks in the front door and he says, I'm a vegan. I just nibble on anything. Well, we didn't have anything.
You only had dead animals? You didn't have anything other than a dead animal?
No, that's not true.
Who won three bracelets?
I know, at least. It was one of those days. He ate a bunch of other stuff, but he ate me out of Fritos.
Okay. All right. Did he take any glasses? I bet you got like more glasses than...
Why do I have glasses? Well, like eyeglasses?
Yeah. I bet you got a lot of them. How many do you
have? Well, I got 10.
10?
10 pair.
Do you have people put them on you in the morning to see if it's going to go with what vest and what shirt?
No, not so much.
No? All right.
No, I have a deal with Serengeti, and they get me the glasses, and you know, they basically pick them out. They say, these would look good on you.
Wow.
And then it's invariable. I have two or three pair that I like the most, and I wear those most of the time, and every once in a while I'll wear the other ones.
So they take your wife's job by telling you what you're going to look
good. Nobody takes my wife's job.
No one takes your wife's job.
And I'm not saying that. She might be watching.
Yeah. Yeah. No one takes her. Hey,
I know better than that, and so do you.
That's right. I told my wife, I said, you are the starting point guard on this team. You are all-star.
That's right.
You are the franchise player.
That's right.
But we do need a shooting guard. I'm just joking. Kind of.
Sort of.
So what's up? Hey, you know what? Every time I come in town, I want to do the show. I haven't done it in 2 years, right?
Yeah, you crashed it a few times.
I crashed it. And that's when Natasha was running things. She was pushing me to get on there. And then, you know, now Joel is.
She was texting me earlier today. Did you talk to her?
No, not yet. I always talk to her when I get here.
Does she know you're in town?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows I'm in town. You see, the sun came out, brother. And it got a little warmer.
Hard to be humble when you're as great as John Saturday.
The sun came. And I got there, and I forgot the name of the tower, the CN Tower. I don't know why I forgot it. I don't know what made me forget the
name. Brain cramp. It's all right.
Yeah.
Happens.
And so I took pictures and put it on Instagram. I went out, and I watched people rushing to work. That's what reminds me of Toronto. In Los Angeles, you are work. You know, everyone is their job. But in Toronto, you have some place to go. And they were bustling this morning to get there. I'm smoking a cigar, watching them go back and forth. People are looking at me like, hey, smoking a cigar. You're rushing to work. I had a great day. Wonderful.
Well, it's more New York than it is Los Angeles, Toronto. Don't you think?
Yeah. This is a sexy New York, though. It's a clean New York. And this really is a melting pot. I don't know who hates who. In New York, you know who they hate. But in here, you don't know who hates who, and to the point of you don't. A great thing happened. I'm doing Rally for Sick Kids, a rally for
Kansas. I want to talk about it, yeah.
And one time Joel had us, and we were doing sushi. And since I cook, I already know how to make sushi. And so we're doing a sushi, and I was asking a question. And the lady said, I said, hey, where do I get the instructions? And she said, the gentleman over there with the clipboard. Now, when I looked over there, this was the blackest person I've ever seen. And he was blurple. He was black, black, black.
Okay.
He was so black, he had to wear white just so we know where he was. That's how black he was.
And I got it.
In America, they would have said, the black guy. In Canada, she said
the guy with the clipboard.
And I said, wow, a T-shirt is holding a clipboard. And I didn't see the brother. And I picked up on it, was like, that's amazing. That's amazing that said the way it is. And then I saw, you know, some Indian girl talking to this Pakistani guy. So I saw a guy with red hair with a black chick. It was like color. It's either you're a good person or a bad person. That's what I like about Canada. That's the way life is.
That's the way it is.
Should be.
So, I mean, I didn't believe me, folks. John and I said hello to each other. About a half an hour ago, but we haven't talked about what we're going to talk about. And I had no idea where we were going to go, but I knew it would go somewhere with him. So you raised this issue about the absence of a screening process based on the color of someone's skin in this country and in this city specifically, too.
Right.
Because this is a melting pot. Mm-hmm. Like, if ever there's a city that's a melting pot, you got everything here and lots of it.
Yeah.
How come we still face a scenario where pro athletes are reluctant to come here? You know, and I mean, I will say this, there are exceptions to that. For example, in the early 90s when the Blue Jays were winning World Series and beating everybody up, no problem getting guys to come here.
Right.
In that brief window when Vince was in Toronto and the Raptors looked like, you know, they might win a championship. Didn't happen, but guys would come. But the other times, you hear a lot about American-based, big-time athletes. I don't want to go there. Are they afraid of customs? Are they afraid of the border? Do they think it snows 12 months a year here? Do you think you have to have a skidoo to get to work in Toronto? I mean, how far does this thing go? Do you know?
You have to have, okay, 20, I'm going to say this. Is this on in America? Not at all. This show.
But a lot of people listen there.
Oh, okay.
We aren't carried, I don't know.
27%.
I think we're carried in a couple of cities in the U.S. But
probably the ones I don't care about. So 27% of Americans have a passport.
Fair enough.
Only 27%.
Yeah.
We are convinced that anything outside of our country is lesser. And we're convinced that, like, you can hear rappers or you can hear, oh, man, I went there, man, I was in Europe, man, it was nothing to eat. And I go, how is there nothing to eat? Like, what part?
Yeah, this, where did you go?
There's 1.3 billion Indians, and there's nothing to eat, but they all eat. Like, what are you not eating? It's just our mentality as an American. And I just faced this last week. I talked to a friend who I haven't spoken to. It sounds crazy, in 32 years, but I went to high school with her. And I asked where she's been, and she's only been to St. Thomas. And
it's the only place outside the universe.
You know, she goes, I've done the Caribbean thing. It's just Americans that have convinced not to. And now they're even making them even more afraid not to leave the States. They are constantly thinking, today on the radio, I mean last night on my way to the airport, are you prepared for a disaster? No, you're not. What about if they come in and they bomb us with chemicals? They're going to watch the news so you can prepare if there's a disaster. Like, they are constantly putting fear on people. The movie V just talks about it, how they constantly put fear on you because if you're afraid, you don't move. Another thing, Revenue Canada needs to work something out. I'm owed at least $150,000 from when I played here.
You and me both, pal.
Right. So the one lady who usually answers the phone, I don't know. She might be at her cabin up this week. I don't know. But I could never get them on the phone to get my money back. They go, hey, we'll get back to you, eh? No, I want my cash. another thing is, it is cold here, but our thought process is, why go up to Canada? You know, usually Americans used to come here when we had to get away from things, you know, like slavery and war.
Oh, stop for a second. You got a Detroit Tigers hat on.
Right.
Have you been to Detroit in the wintertime?
And have you
been to Chicago, Minneapolis, you know?
You can't tell an American that, though. And this is why. They still don't get it. And I thought this was a great place to be. I just said that they needed to work out their taxes. This is the best place to party. This is the best place for women. This is the best place for scenery, culture. If you were to go through everything, restaurant, anything you can think of, you can do here in Toronto. You can't do it in all the other places.
Nope.
But these
you
guys,
do some of them.
Right. Well, not as well.
You can't do as much.
Right. You can do a lot here, and you can do a little other places. And I love coming up here. I got friends up here. I like being up here. If they work something out with the taxes, because the players don't know about it until they retired and how they've been getting beat up. You got to be here less than 180 days. You can't be in a career. You can't make the playoffs here in 180 days if you're a basketball player. So they have to work something out with the league. And I think David Stern is the best commissioner of all time. The fact that Vancouver and Toronto had a team was beautiful. But after the Vinsanity, I think they kind of fell off on pushing that because they had to start pushing things down into the States. And I just think that's part of it. Plus, football players come up here and play Canadian football. Sometimes they're good enough to go back to the NFL better than NFL players, but this is a better lifestyle. So a lot of guys don't move. And in baseball, you know, who watches baseball? No, I'm joking.
You're not a baseball guy?
I am an art and culture guy. So I'm not really a sit-around sports guy.
Fan.
Like, I'm not going to watch. And I was just explaining to my two friends over there, Candace from Liquid Life and Soraya, who's an unbelievable model and she works with fashion. And I always hang with her. But I told them, I don't like watching somebody else do what I've done. Even when I was playing, like, they was like, Sal, you got to watch film. And I go, why do I have to watch film? They go, you got to know what's happening, what his weaknesses are and not weaknesses. I said, his weakness is his right arm and his right thigh hurts. And they go, how do you know? Because I'm going to hit him in his right arm and in his right thigh. And that's going to be his weakness. Okay? And I said, I didn't watch film growing up in Brooklyn. They were like, yo, I heard you nice. Yeah, I heard you nice. Yeah, yo, you lefty? Yeah, I'm righty. Guess what? Don't let him go left. Guess what? Don't let him go right.
That's right.
The job in basketball, stay in between the basket and your man and don't let him put the ball in the basket.
Pretty much how it works.
Why do I have to watch film? Now football, you schemes, but in basketball you got 54 feet I have to deal with, and you got selfish point guards, and we only got 12 seconds to get you the ball. whatever you get the ball with 12 seconds to go, I'm pushing you left if you're right-handed, and I'm pushing you right if you're left-handed.
And take my chances from there.
That's right.
Do you still play a bit?
I got to tell you, man, I went to play.
Because you're not young anymore. Let's be honest.
I turned 50.
I know you turned 50.
I turned 50 years old, and I didn't think it was going to be something, man. And you know, my wife said, okay, you're about to go through this midlife crisis, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
You know, am I going to buy a Ferrari? Am I going to buy a Corvette? You know, am I going to date a younger chick? Am I going to have mistresses? You know, this whole thing kicks in.
Wait a sec. I can answer all those questions.
And I said, one, my daughter has ruined it for everybody. She's 26, and she's ruined it for everybody. Because I was in a nightclub hanging out, and I was, you know, being entertaining to some girl in front of me, like, you know, yeah, you know who I think I am? One of those kind of raps.
Yeah.
And somebody's tapping me on my back, Bob, tap me on my back, and Derrick Rose is sitting with me, and I'm like, oh, man, I turn around. Daddy, can I come in your section? Because the first thing, don't call me daddy in public. And
busted.
Second thing, what are you doing here? She goes, this is where I hang out. The question is, what are you doing here? I was 45 when that happened.
Oh, no.
So now at 50, when girls say something to me, I start laughing. And they go, why are you laughing? I go, I probably know your mama. I probably know your mama, or at least your auntie, okay? And because I heard that one before. At 50, you just look at things differently, and I appreciate way more than I did when I was younger.
That was the longest-winded non-answer in the history of this program. I asked you if you still play basketball.
I don't, man. I went out there to play, and this kid went around me so fast. And
oh, you're one of those,
it
huh?
Took me a second to turn to see him go around me. And I thought, I told my legs, drop step. And the Richard Pryor joke, my leg said, no, not drop stepping. I'm not jumping. Yeah. I'm done.
Those days are over.
Yeah, go find a Padron and some scotch and sit down and enjoy this life.
So what do you do?
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, I know that. So, like, that's a big surprise.
No, I'm just joking. That was Snoop Dogg. That was just Nate Dogg. What I do every day, I sell wine. I got a wine called the Vegan Vine Wine.
Get out.
Yeah, man. It's called
Vine.
I own
a winery.
Well,
We got to get together.
It's the hardest thing I've done because they tell you one thing and they smile in your face and then you come back to the store and you're still not on the shelf. And then 3,000 different kind of labels, 3,000 wine labels come out of California per month. So when I got my wine label out 3 years ago, I went to China last year. I just got Whole Foods in the States. It's sold, you know, I own it throughout the world. But in 4 countries, I only own up to 40% of the
wine. So you don't have a winery, but you're having
Have a winery called Cola Shots.
Oh, okay.
It's up on the northern central coast. It's 153 acres of
estate. Near Napa?
No, it's near San Jose.
Oh, okay.
Right on the coast.
Oh, okay.
I figured out I didn't have enough money to own the dirt, so I just own the label. And
so it's like a private label.
It's a private label at a vineyard that literally makes my wine and
gotcha.
Make it up to, I don't know, 400,000 cases in case I have to. That was the one thing, too, being in an incubator. Find out how much I can make before you sell it.
That's right.
Just knowing. But you got you own the dirt.
I own the whole thing. I got the dirt. I got the grapes. I got the vines.
You got any Mexicans up here picking the grapes? Nobody can like the Mexicans. I'm telling you. Now, that may sound racist, but it's not. Nobody can. It's almost like seriously, I'm going in 2 weeks for my TV show on the Travel Channel to pick the grapes with the people. And it's so funny. They all come up from Peru, El Salvador.
Yeah, they do.
Guatemala.
So I don't know where, like, we have pickers that come in.
Right.
And they also do maintenance on the vines.
And they don't destroy your vines when they pick
the grapes. No, they know how to do it. But most of the grapes are picked by machine.
Yeah, well, not mine.
You know, they have the big ass thing that goes through and it just kind of gobbles them all up.
A Kardashian.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
That's what I'm going to call it. It's a Kardashian. What is that thing? It's a Kardashian. Just gobbles everything up.
Yeah, and so I'm going
to. I'm not giving you credit, I want you to know.
Good. I don't really need. But I'm going to do that. And I started finding wines, and so I started a beverage company, and I found.
See, we have something in common that we didn't know we had until this very second.
Yeah. I just realized that people were going to drink. I started learning how to drink in my 30s and 40s. So I got a beer called Fearless, which is also vegan. And it's a Scottish ale out of Portland that I partnered up.
So is this a vegan wine?
Okay, so let me explain why it's vegan.
That's what I was
going to ask. There's no animal products in the making of this wine. So 93% of wine, sometime, most of the times, are made without animal products. But a lot of people are using, in the fining of the wine, they use egg whites, casing, isinglass, which is the hooves of animals, and they use surgeon bellies, eggs. And when they cut the wine and then the fining of it. So we make it the old-fashioned way. We use bentonite, which is the clay that they use in Spain and Italy and that you grow out of. And then there's no pesticides because we put a plant in between each of the vines that the insects that eat it don't like. So we're a sustainable vineyard. So that encompasses being organic. And it has to be vegan because we don't bring any animal products or kill any animals or do anything to make our wine. I thought the word vegan was a big-time word, and it is, along with gluten-free. And so I exposed my lifestyle without smacking you in the face. So the first label was big. It said The Vegan Vine. Now it says The Vine, The Vegan Vine, but The Vegan is smaller. I etched the bottle because when we went to China, I realized they were going to knock off whatever we have. There's big counterfeiting. So I etched the bottle. We etched the bottle now. The bottle was beautiful. It's great.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's my first thing. Tequila is how I started, but I didn't go through with it. So I started with the wine. Now I'll do the Fearless beer. I want a Prosecco. I want a Moscato. Maybe a Lambrusco. And this is a funny story, Bob. I'm in Detroit.
Do they have a Prosecco at the winery?
No, I have to find somebody else. And it's
poor man's champagne, really.
Exactly. Exactly. Without me saying the word champagne. Yeah. But I literally was in Detroit pouring wine, and this old black lady comes up to me and she goes, "Is this wine sweet, John Sally?" I said, "No, Mama, I make wine for white folks." And she was like, "You got to get a sweet wine." My mom's like, "You got to." I said, "No, I'm trying to stop diabetes. I'm not trying to add to it."
It's amazing how many people love sweet products. And you know, Asians are crazy for?
Yeah.
What we have here, exclusively in Niagara.
Property.
Ice wine.
Really?
Have you ever had ice wine?
No.
Ice wine, what they do, Niagara's the only place in the world, Canada's the only place in the world that can make ice wine every year. It was invented here, in fact. And what they do is they leave the grapes on the vine. Temperature has to be below freezing.
Not problem.
For 48 hours. And then they pick them frozen. And what happens to the grapes is the flavor intensifies and the grape itself starts producing an extraordinary amount of sugar. So you don't have to add any sugar. It just becomes a really incredibly intense flavored sweet product. And then you do the same process that basically you do for any other wine. You know, you crush it and ferment it and you get ice wine.
I got to hook that
we
up.
We do, our winery alone does, I don't know, 1.5 million in China, in Beijing alone, in ice wine.
Oh, I can't wait to get into your video. What's the name of it? We got to talk, B. We can't just be meeting every 2 years.
Well, you
got to
come down.
Oh, I don't
know. How long are you in town?
I'm in town until you tell me to leave. No, I'm in town until Sunday, and then I'm in Winnipeg next week.
When's your event?
The event is Friday and Saturday. We're going to do the draft, 7th annual of the rally for 6 kids with cancer.
Right.
This time. And last year I was with Jimmy Williams, or 2 years ago I was driving with Jimmy Williams in the Lamborghini. I mean, in the Lambo, and it was great. We had a great time. I don't know who's going to draft me this year, but they'll win because every time you draft me, we win. Even if we don't win, we win because I have fun.
You cheat?
Yes. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You ain't
USC.
Trying. Yes, I know. So you mentioned gluten earlier.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what gluten is?
Yes, wheat.
You know the John Panette?
No.
The comedian?
No, what is
he? Big guy just passed away a couple of months ago.
Oh, sorry.
He does a thing on gluten.
He did
it. He's trying to lose weight. Yeah, he did a thing. And he was trying to lose weight, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're allergic to gluten." He says, you know what's got gluten? He says, "I don't know what gluten is." He says, "You know what has gluten in it? Everything."
Every single thing.
So he says, "I don't know what gluten is, but it's delicious." Because everything I try without gluten is unedible.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to disagree, but there are some new things coming around that help the gluten world. I haven't, it was already hard enough to, you know, be so an animal activist.
You know what? Call me when they invent, I can't believe it's not gluten.
Well, I got something. I have enzymes. I have gluten enzymes. So you say after the age of 30, your body stopped producing enzymes. This is why you started gaining, people start gaining weight. So I take gluten enzymes and I take digestive enzymes. I say systemic enzymes. So I constantly am bringing the things back in my body that helps me break down food. So when I do eat something that has gluten in it, I take enzymes that help me break that down.
Break down the gluten?
Yeah, break down the gluten. Or like, we didn't have any more, but I was going to bring you a juice from Liquid Life.
Oh, yeah?
Right here out of Toronto. That's right. I'm a part of it. We're going to be big. Is it big.
Is it vegan gluten-free?
No, what it is you just get to drink all your vegetables as opposed to eating all your vegetables.
This I like.
That's what I said. People, it's a new way. I can't keep forcing people to go to restaurants.
You know, you go on the shopping channel, and they got the $4,000 blender that you have to have. Like, the $3,000 blender is a piece of crap.
Right.
You got to have the $4,000 blender. Otherwise, you might as well not juice.
Right. And they tell you, but then you don't want to go buy the juices, clean it, get rid of the bacteria.
Put the veggies in there, and then
Liquid
you got
Life.
Clean the whole thing.
LiquidLife.com. Right here in Toronto. Matter of fact, this is what I want to do. This would be a great test. What if I put you on a 3-day juice fast and then you report on how great you feel the next? So we'll do it on a Friday. We'll start on a Thursday, Friday, then Monday.
Yeah, no, Monday. You know, I'm going to come in here and you know what I'm going to say?
I had the best sex ever in my life.
I'm going to say, I'm
excited.
Hungry.
No, you won't be hungry. I guarantee you. You'll be satisfied. You'll be slimmer. You know.
Steady.
Yeah. Well, you got great hair, so it don't make a difference. You don't have to be. Well, you got good hair. You don't have to be.
Well, I got a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Everywhere. I even see, did you shave your knuckles?
No, I didn't shave my knuckles. What's wrong with you?
You know, I've been seeing people growing hair, and as I get older, this is how I know I got white in my system. I'm not just 100% Negroid. I got hair growing a little bit on my back.
Do you know factually you've got white in you?
Oh, definitely. This is,
can you trace your roots?
Yeah, I'm doing it on my show. This is great. You're going to love it.
There's another lead in you.
No, no. This is what I set up. This guy said to me, his name was John Sally, Reverend John Sally, out of Sally, South Carolina. He says, we want to invite you to the chitlin strut. Now, chitlins are the guts of a pig. Nastiest thing in the world. I have never. And he's telling me, we're going to come down. I said, what is it? He said, it's a family reunion. I go, whose family? He said, the Sallys. I said, I've never heard of y'all. He goes, no, no. This is the only time the slave owners' descendants and the slaves' descendants get together because we're all Sallys. I said, I'm not coming to that. I don't know whether to punch you in the stomach or kiss you.
Well, because the slaves used to take the name of their...
Were given, right.
Yeah, they were
so
given.
So then I thought about it, and I thought, but this is brilliant. There's no reason for me to be upset. It's 2014, and I'm on a show with you, so I'm not upset about it. It's what it was. This is the first time I truly can find out my history and know exactly what kind of white I'm mixed with.
This is exciting.
Yeah. I can find out why I got nose hair, why I got hair growing out of my ears. That ain't black. That ain't black. Black people don't do that.
When did the hair start growing out of your ears?
Oh, my God.
Last 5 years or so?
My daughter's like, you want to cut your nose hair? I was like, nose hair? I didn't even notice, like, nose hair. Oh, yeah. My beard grows like I'm Iranian. I shaved it this morning. I feel it coming back in right now.
No, and you got some stuff.
I'm attacking every religion, every race, so no one says I'm racist.
Yes. Yeah. Should we get onto some sports stuff for a couple minutes?
We can. Are we going to talk about cricket? Because I have an Indian girl with me. So I'm going to keep going and keep going with all the races. So everybody says he's not racist.
Have you ever watched cricket?
Yeah, I had four days to do nothing. I watched it. How does a match last more than 4 days? Match is over when it's over in an hour, so you can go to the bar and talk to the girl who was in row 3 who used to date your teammate last week. That's a match, not 4 days.
So here's my only cricket story. I'm going to tell it fast because I've told it before. I'm in Heathrow Airport in London.
Yeah.
And I'm in first class, so I'm in the lounge.
Of course.
Nobody else is there. Okay, I'm by myself. There's not even a hostess or anybody else around, so I sit down on the couch. They have a big-ass TV. And I'm watching the big-ass TV, and cricket is on. And I'm sitting here, and I've never watched cricket.
Big-ass TV, another Kardashian.
Yeah. So the world's filled with Kardashians. So I'm sitting there in front of this TV, and I'm, I said, you know, I'd really love to know what's going on here so I could understand, learn a little bit about this game, because it looks like it might be interesting. It's sort of like baseball a little bit, and I wish they'd turn up the volume. So I'm looking around for a remote to see if I could click the volume up. And then all of a sudden, like really loud, I hear a guy go, yes, it's a hit. The volume had been up all that time.
Are you kidding me?
He just hadn't, nobody said anything. Like, British announcers have a wonderful economy with words. Like, over here, you can't get a broadcaster to shut up.
I get it. That's why I don't like it. I couldn't do games because I will curse. That is nothing.
You are a potty mouth.
I would curse. If I'm watching a guy do something and I know it's a mistake, I'm going to call it. I'm going to be like, oh, man, dude, you know what? He shouldn't have hung out last night. You can tell he hung out last night.
Yeah.
I would expose it. That's what would happen.
So let's get into a couple things. What do you make of all this, this NFL stuff? All these guys out there, like, it's like almost one a day now we're getting into all this stuff.
It's the no fun league. See, maybe they should let them celebrate a little bit more, and then they won't, you know,
do all this other stuff.
You know what I really thought? Now I have to go back. There's two things I thought of when it first came out. When the Ray Rice thing came out, and then I kept seeing the Ray Rice thing. And then, of course, we get our news from very reliable sources, TMZ.
Yeah.
And so...
thank God, by the way.
Yeah.
For that one,
I wouldn't have known Michael Jackson died if it wasn't for TMZ.
There you go.
I'm telling you, when I'm watching that, I'm thinking, okay, stop and back up. Don't get close to the TV because somebody's behind you. And I was right. Because when I saw how much was going on Ray Rice, I backed up and I realized America was going into war again. And I was right. The same time this Ray Rice thing is going off and all this football is going off, Americans are not paying attention that we're back in a war. And we're arguing not whether we're going to war, that was passed yesterday, whether we're going to put boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Not saying it was a diversion, but the NFL used to have an unbelievable blanket that you didn't see or hear anything, and they handled things in. Now they're letting everybody else handle their business, and I don't know what to do and what to think about it. When they keep talking about domestic violence, I said, what do? We take women away from these savages, or do we make them gladiators and only give them women after they win a game? Like,
well,
what
we don't do is we don't let them walk away after they do this kind of stuff.
But let's explain it. I'm a black American. I'm no longer an African American. I haven't been to Africa. I don't know anything about it. I'm a black American. As in a black American, you got your ass whooped. When you got in trouble, my moms would beat us with the belt. My father would beat us with the belt. This is how it goes down. When you do something wrong, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. This is a Christian mentality.
We all understand that. I lived through it to some extent too.
Right, but now, when you're famous and you do something that you culturally are used to, that you were brought up in doing, that you are told to do, that you are expected to whip, you know, put your belt to that child's butt. That's the way it was. But now Adrian Peterson lost not only his job and his endorsements, his credibility for doing what everybody used to do. They are telling you how to raise your children, which way to be. Now, I'm not saying he was right for doing it, but to call it child abuse, you can't call it child abuse.
Well, but there are laws.
Okay, but that's the funniest thing. Not the funniest thing. This is the craziest thing about the laws. The law that no one knew about until this Adrian Peterson thing, because you know why no black people have said anything in America? Because they all whip their children. And if they say they don't, they lying. Because everybody said, my grandma used to send me out to get a switch. It was the longest walk in the world. You get the smallest switch. We can all tell you the same joke.
Yeah, but we also, you know what, here's the defining point. I understand all that. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
And we've discussed the fact that we understand that Adrian Peterson was raised a certain way, and he is responding naturally the way his father treated him, or his mom treated him, or his uncle, or whatever. We understand it's a cultural thing to a certain extent. However, we didn't really grow up walking 10 miles uphill in a snowstorm and 10 miles down uphill in a snowstorm coming home to go to school, which we, you know, our
but you
parents,
heard, but you
we heard,
heard
that story.
And you got beat by that person that did it.
Maybe, but I think, you know, in like everything else, we evolve. And what was
to what?
Well, but what was acceptable in society in general 50 years ago, 45 years ago, when you were 5 years old?
Well, in South Africa, you're right. We have evolved because in South Africa, if you were black and you're walking down the street and a white person was coming towards you, you had to step in the street.
That's right.
Okay. In America also, this is a slap, but not a slap. When cops came around, you put your hands up and you got down in the position because you knew it was going to be a bad situation. It's still happening. So we evolved to a point where we talk about it and we get to it. But they are literally using this guy like they did Michael Vick. When Michael Vick was, you know, Michael Vick was wrong. I'm an animal activist. He was wrong. You don't do anything to animals, right? But he didn't invent dog fighting. He didn't invent it. He financed it. This guy didn't invent whipping your child. He just did what he needed to do, which he felt established him in front. I went to the same situation.
Let me ask you, if you are the baby mama of this one of his children,
right?
Like he's got six or seven that we think we know of,
right?
Probably with different women, right. But you're the mother of this four-year-old child. You send the four-year-old child to be with his father for a few days. He comes back. You're changing him that night, and you see open wounds.
No, he just had a whelp. But I know what you mean. Keep going. I'm not discounting it, but I'm going to explain the mentality. The mentality is this. We was even in a movie in Do the Right Thing. This kid almost gets caught by the run into the street, and the mayor grabs him. And the woman comes, and she goes, "What were you doing?" He goes, "This man attacked." He goes, "No, he ran across the street, and I saved him." And she started beating him. Everybody's like, "Lay, lay, lay." She goes, "No one's going to tell me how to handle my son, not even his daddy." My mentality when I was growing up, and maybe you can't call it archaic, my father came out. My brother ran the other way. Be home by 7. When 7:05 came around, Quilly came looking for him. My brother started running. Quilly goes, "I'm just going to meet you back at the building." And it was like in the back. That's how it used to be. So to call him a child abuser and put that on him for the rest of his life is the craziest thing. And to go in and take it, and I can say if we lined up how many people have beat their child with a belt, period, and say, be honest, the whole room would raise their hand. So to put this on, like this guy is this, he got indicted, he's going to go to jail for raising his child. They're using him as an example. And I just don't think that that's the fair.
Well,
like he said, I was raised this way. Where were y'all when I was getting my ass beat?
I understand that philosophy. I think, I hope everybody understands that philosophy. Having said that, it's pretty easy to understand how the mother of that child would get this kid back, you know, go to the airport, meet the kid. I mean, I don't know how the child was transported back to his mother, but, and, you know.
Yeah, let me tell you. I agree with you.
Without a mark on him, and now he comes back with one, and what do you do?
My daughter went to visit her mom's and came back. When she came back, what you do to my daughter? You beating her, I'm going to call it, you know, child services on you. What happened? Well, she gave me a beating. Right, I get it. So my daughter did something crazy, and I gave her a beating. Next thing you know, child services came in and was like, well, I had to take anger management classes. I had to go through all the same thing he was going to, only doing what I was told and taught that's how you keep a kid from shooting up schools. That's how you keep a kid on the narrow. When they come in, they go, I'm going to tell your father. You ain't going to tell your father because he's going to talk sternly to you. You're going to tell your father because you know he would lay some belt on your ass.
Yeah.
That's what the fear was. So now they're telling you how to do it. I get it. I don't believe you should beat on anybody, and I do think that you can beat on their brain. But to use this guy as the example and throw him to the dogs and kind of throw him out, I don't think that's right.
Well, he's still getting paid. I mean,
he's not. But he's paying. He's paying for it.
Well,
he lost $250 million.
Yeah, he lost his endorsements, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
It's not an insignificant sacrifice. Right. I understand that. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds.
And what's going to happen to Ray Rice? What can Ray Rice ever do but find God right now? The only way that you're ever going to excuse him for the left hook is if he does something that I think they do just to do it, not because they really try to find it. He has to find a way where he says, I'm sorry, everybody, forgive me. And this guy said to me, well, his wife forgave him. Why don't we? And I said, well, one, we're trying to
stop
this.
That's one of the oldest stories in the world.
Right. That's what this guy said.
The wife who's in fear who doesn't say anything.
But this is another thing. She said, this is our lifestyle. Somebody said, if you've been in a relationship with somebody long enough, you're no longer a victim. You're a volunteer. If you don't want to move, if you don't see it yourself, you're volunteering for, we told you, hey, listen.
Did you see her Facebook post?
Did you see her Facebook post? Do you know the lady got married a month after the left hook? This guy's got a left hook like that can't even talk right now.
Oh, I know.
And she married him. So I'm thinking, what is her whole family should have been standing up when the judge said something, knowing it. So what do they do now?
We got to take a break. We're way late.
You made me talk about it.
I didn't make you do anything.
Yeah, you did, B.
It's John Sally, and we're going to come back, and we're going to plug your charitable thing this weekend one more time. We'll be back in a minute. Primetime continues coast to coast on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports.
Left before the hour. With four-time NBA champion John Sally in studio. Rally for Kids with Cancer is his event this weekend. Now, anyways, I'm reading here. So this is a rally and you have fancy cars, but you get a celebrity navigator. So you don't even drive, Sally. You're just sitting in the passenger seat.
I don't think they can. Insurance would let me drive in this country.
That's a pretty good point.
In this country.
But I wouldn't either.
But my friend Jimmy Williams is a great guy. Literally had me in his Lamborghini, and we went around. We got into, went all different parts of Toronto. And that's kind of how I thought of my show, because of doing this. When I realized I lived in Toronto, and I didn't know how great it was. But when I do this rally for the past 5-6 years, I've been up
everywhere.
In New York. I've been everywhere, man. I was like, I still haven't seen dirt on the ground yet. I've seen something, and I saw a homeless guy pick it up after he threw it down. This is the cleanest place in the world. But it deals with, it's the 7th annual. We raise kids for the hospital. We go into the hospital. So it's not like we go in and go, okay, we're just going to go see. They really are part of it throughout the year. And we sometimes get the kids involved. Like last year we went in and we did some paintings. We had them involved. We don't take pictures of them. We talk to them. It's not like trying to get the photo op. We really are letting them know that we care about them. And it's a great thing. Joel puts it together, here and his crew. Patricia usually, I got to drop Patricia's name because, she usually has everything done great for me when I came in town. And Joel sits up there. And sometimes I get on stage. We were in Vancouver. And Terrence Howard was involved, which was really cool.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Billy Baldwin and I always did. Billy Baldwin always gets up and he auctions me off for something. So I got auctioned off to go to a Raptor game and sit up and talk sports.
Yeah, Billy was in town a couple months ago.
Yeah, he stays in. This is the spot, brother.
Yeah.
This is the spot.
www.rallyforkids.com. You can go there, and if you can help out, he'd appreciate it. I'd appreciate it. Everybody appreciate it. And the kids would appreciate it most of all.
Definitely. And I'm getting involved in Liquid Life, the juice company up here.
You didn't bring me any.
I know, but we're gonna drop it by because I want you to get all your vegetables, B, because I got to keep you alive. How else am I going to get on the radio?
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it.
I'm thinking about it.
Now that I know I can go to the Vineyard in Niagara. Isn't Niagara in America? I thought of Niagara was
right
America.
Right down the road. Well, that's on the other side. Oh, God, geography with him. that's John Sally. We'll come back with more. Primetime continues. Stick around.